Charles B. Hayes, and Helen Council, Senator Baumgartner, Assistant Attorney General, and Lee Council.
You may proceed.
Please support. My name is Charles E. Hayden, and I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal. This represents Daniel Paul Frisco, and we have assigned as error that the habeas court erred in ruling that it need not determine whether Florida versus Jardines would alter its suppression ruling in this case, because Jardines introduced a new rule and is not retroactive, unquote. We would submit the trial court's ruling, the habeas court's ruling, was plainly wrong and contrary to what the U.S. Supreme Court indicated in Florida versus Jardines, the 2013 case in which the majority, five justices, stated was basing its holding, that its holding was dictated by longstanding case precedent rather than announcing a new rule of constitutional law, thereby indicated that the case would have retroactive effect. Generally, whether criminal law decisions apply retroactively is determined under the Teague versus Lane case, the 1989 U.S. Supreme Court case, in which the Supreme Court indicated a decision is retroactive if it's an old rule, a decision dictated by prior court precedents. Because the Supreme Court indicated in Jardines this decision was dictated by existing court precedents relating to Fourth Amendment search and seizure rules that were in existence at the time of Frisco's suppression hearing in 2008 and did not purport to be a new rule, the Jardines decision ought to operate retroactively to invalidate Frisco's conviction. Certainly his conviction was pending in 2012 when the case was taken up. The Supreme Court granted cert. Certainly this case was in existence when the Jones case, the 2012 U.S. Supreme Court case that the Jardines case that we're relying on, that our decision is dictated by that the Jones case from 2012. Well, it ought to certainly apply to this case as well. I note that
has any of the federal courts said that Jardines was a dictated by prior precedent case as opposed to merely an extension of prior precedent case for purposes of Teague?
I have not found any published cases that address the issue whether Jardines applies retroactively to convictions that were already final as of March 26, 2013. I think the AG's brief acknowledges the same thing, that there are no published cases one way or the other indicating that. So that means we need to go to the Jardines case itself to analyze, does it announce some new decision? Is this a new rule that's set forth in Jardines? Does it overrule some prior case? Set aside Plessy versus Ferguson, or say we're disavowing our prior holdings in cases, the prior drug sniffing cases. Well, not one of the three, the U.S. Supreme Court had previously decided three cases involving drug sniffing. Not one of them is disavowed, not one of them set aside. They all continue to be good law. So we have to look in the Jardines. Is there something that indicates a new rule that sets forth new ground or imposes a new obligation on the states? Tells, like in Gideon versus Wainwright, that you have to give indigent persons afford them the right to counsel. There's no new rule that's announced there. I note that we look at the Teague case. They say that in general, a case announces a new rule when it breaks new ground. or imposes a new obligation on the states or the federal government. And they cite, for example, the Ford versus Wainwright case, a 1986 Supreme Court case that said the Eighth Amendment prohibits execution of prisoners that are insane. I think also in my experience, I was one of the counsel involved in the Atkins versus Virginia case. And in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court didn't make any pretense of saying we're basing this on our decision on prior court precedent. They were talking about, well, evolving standards of decency, and they're citing all these cases, U.S. Other states that have abolished, have forbidden, passed laws forbidding the execution of mentally retarded defendants, and so they said we're announcing a new rule henceforth. You cannot execute mentally retarded defendants, and it was not based. They made no pretense of suggesting it's based on prior precedent. In the T case, they said another way of putting this, analyzing, is does a case announce a new rule? To put it differently, a case announces a new rule if the result was not dictated by precedent existing at the time the defendant's conviction became final.
What prior to Jardines dictated the conclusion that a dog outside the house is searching the interior of the house by smelling?
Well, Judge Scalia's opinion in the Jardines case indicated that his decision was dictated under the reasoning of the 2012 United States versus Jones case, a GPS case that was based on property rights. It was apparently a GPS attached to a car, and in that case, they ruled that the police physically intrude on persons, houses, papers, or effects for the purpose of when that's done for the purpose of obtaining information, a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment has undoubtedly occurred. And they also noted that their decision was consistent with the Supreme Court's early Fourth Amendment jurisprudence, which until the latter half of the 20th century was tied to trespass under the common law. They said that the Fourth Amendment's very core, stands the right to a man to retreat from his home and be free from unreason.
Jones was a physical intrusion into the property of another, right? The car.
Right.
Here the dog is not going into the house or into the car, standing outside, and there's these molecules floating through the air, and the dog picks up on them. So it is different from Jones in that crucial respect.
I would respectfully disagree. The Supreme Court, the majority opinion, was at pains to explain how their case was based on existing case precedent and common law trespass at common law and under the reasoning of the United States versus Jones case, the 2012 case. And they proceed to cite cases. Scalia cited cases.
How many courts pre-Jardines suppressed a dog sniff search who was on the porch? If it was dictated by existing precedent, you would expect a lot of them would have done so.
Well, there are certainly no U.S. Supreme Court cases that say that. And they didn't disavow a single case.
Lower courts. So U.S. Court of Appeals, state appellate courts, how many of them granted suppression motions in this Jardine scenario?
There were...
On federal constitutional grounds.
There were, I think, some misreadings of the three U.S. Supreme Court cases that I cite the cases in my brief United States versus Place, the 1983 case, City of Indianapolis versus Edmonds, Illinois versus Cabalas. Those were the three prior dog sniffing cases. And some persons took what was not, they inferred, but it was never stated in those cases, that Well, if it's not a dark sniff, isn't a search in those cases, it must not be a sniff in any case. Can't be a sniff, therefore. That was the erroneous conclusion that was drawn, but it was not dictated by those precedents.
And what I'm getting at is if nobody or very few courts went in the direction of Jardines, then that suggests Jardines is a new rule because no one really saw it coming.
I would respectfully, the reason the majority opinion that was joined by Kagan, Thomas, Ginsburg, and Sotomayor, they were focusing on all this case precedent extending back to 1765, and then the concurrence.
But, I mean, they don't come flat out and say, oh, and by the way, this is a new rule or not a new rule. They just leave that to later courts to decide, right?
And Justice Kagan's concurrence and her her concurrence was devoted to explaining why, in her view, the case was an easy one under either the property-based rights approach or the privacy-based Fourth Amendment, the CAST approach.
But interestingly, the majority didn't sign off on Justice Kagan's premonition of how Teague would later apply. And you keep mentioning the majority opinion, but four justices in a 5-4 opinion signed off in an opinion by Justice Alito in the first sentence of the dissent, in your case, is, quote, the court's decision in this important Fourth Amendment case is based on a putative rule of trespass law that is nowhere to be found in the annals of Anglo-American jurisprudence.
And that was the losing opinion, the minority opinion. The five of the justices, Kagan, Thomas, Ginsburg, and Sotomayor, signed on to Scalia's opinion.
The question is not that the majority have the power to do what they did. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they did. The question is not even whether Jones and other developments in the historicity of the Fourth Amendment permits the extension of Jardines. The question is whether prior law dictated it to the point where precedent has resolved the issue forever, and everyone knows that we just hadn't said it yet.
Well, what they indicated, they went to lengths to explain their reason was dictated by a longstanding common law precedents concerning trespass and the Jones case. And so if this is really a new rule, as the AG contends, where what prior opinion of the court was disavowed?
You stopped short, counsel, on, you were quoting, I think, from the Chavez versus U.S. case earlier, but you stopped short when you were explaining the distinction between a new and an old rule. And a quote from that is, it's not, all these double negatives, let me see if I can say this better, it's a new rule unless it would have been apparent to all reasonable jurists, and we have a 5-4 decision. So that's a pretty simple, clear conclusion that it's not apparent to all reasonable jurists if it wasn't apparent to four U.S. Supreme Court justices.
I don't believe this case turns on whether there were dissenting opinions from that decision. I think just looking at how they decide the case, it's clear the Jardines case was based on prior case precedent. Thank you. I'll reserve it for me.
Good morning. May it please the court, I'm Susan Baumgartner for the director. This case is analyzed under Teague, and the very first step of Teague was petitioner's conviction final. I think there's no question that it was final in this case. The fact that cert was granted before Mr. Oprisco's case was over does not matter. There's no question that his appeal was finalized a year before Jardines was issued, was announced. And so there's no question that first step of Teague, his conviction was final. The second was it a new rule? And I think the distinction here is whether a case is dictated by precedent or based on precedent. Now, in his brief, Mr. Oprisco argued that it's not a new rule because it used precedent. This is the wrong standard. The majority opinion in Jardines does not say it was clearly dictated by precedent. In fact, that's in the concurrence as discussed, with only three of the justices signed off on. Previously, the Supreme Court of the United States has said twice that a dog sniff is not a search. That's in the Place case that involved luggage in an airport, and the Caballas case that involved a traffic stop. And in both of those cases, they found that a dog sniff was not a search. In addition, this court has previously refused to limit police officers' right to approach and knock on a door based on Supreme Court of the United States precedent that an officer's subjective intent is irrelevant if he has that implied license to approach someone's front door. Jardines, however, rejected this implied license specifically because of the officer's subjective intent as demonstrated by his bringing the drug-sniffing dog in. So there is clear precedent here that was rejected and changed by Jardines. And certainly, I do believe that the 5-4 split suggests that reasonable minds vigorously debated the outcome in this case and were unable to agree. That alone suggests that this is the hallmark of a new rule. Multiple courts have recognized that Jardines announced the new rule, although none of these decisions are published. The District of Minnesota, the Southern District of Indiana, and the Central District of Illinois, all in unpublished opinions I cited, have found that Jardines was a new rule. Given that his conviction was final and it was a new rule, the default is that the case is not retroactive. There are two exceptions that can apply. Neither do in this case.
Were any courts granting suppression on a Jardines-type theory before Jardines? In other words, state Supreme Courts, courts of appeal, U.S. courts of appeal. I mean, this is a common scenario, bringing a dog on the porch to, you know. Were any cases out there?
I'm not aware of any besides
Florida one. I found a bunch where the court denied suppression, but not many where there was granted suppression on a federal constitutional ground.
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm not comfortable saying that there were absolutely none, but I believe it was much more common, and certainly in this
case. It was very lopsided from what I could tell.
Yes.
Okay. May I circle you back to your subjective, objective observation in Jardines? I really question that, given the language of the opinion. The majority opinion in the last paragraph prior to Section 3 says the state points out our decisions holding that the subjective intent of the officer is irrelevant. Cite. Here, however, the question before the court is precisely whether the officer's conduct was an objectively reasonable search. So I'm not sure at all that Jardines changed the subject-objective equation in the least. In fact, they seem to me to be insisting that they're not doing that.
Well, I would argue, Your Honor, that in fact, looking at the reason behind bringing the dog does take it into the subjective realm. Because either they're allowed to approach and not, or they're not. The two exceptions that could apply to make this retroactive are, one, a rule that places certain kinds of primary, private, individual conduct beyond the power of the criminal lawmaking authority to prescribe. That's the substantive rules. It narrows the scope of a criminal statute or places certain people or acts beyond the state's power to punish. This is as opposed to procedural, which regulates the manner of determining guilt. Jardines obviously did not narrow the scope of drug possession statutes at all or prevent the Commonwealth from punishing certain types of conduct or certain types of people. It regulates what evidence can be used in determining guilt. And as the Supreme Court of the United States just decided on August 18th of this year, admissibility of evidence is procedural. Accordingly, the first exception doesn't apply. The second exception is for watershed rules of criminal procedure that are so fundamental and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. These rules are largely about whether there's a risk of impermissible conviction, and the exclusionary rule has never been about the accuracy of a conviction. It's been about regulating police conduct. There are no cases that have found Jardines to be retroactive. The two unpublished cases that I cited in my brief have found that it was not retroactive post-conviction, post-finality. And there is a new case that was issued June 17th, 2016, from the District of North Dakota, Moe v. Pringle, that also found this is not retroactive to final convictions. Therefore, the circuit court did not err in finding it was retroactive.
May I ask one more question on the... There was a search warrant, right?
Yes.
So the dog does a sniff. There's all sorts of CI information, and they go to a magistrate to get a search warrant. And then they want an exclusionary rule at trial, a criminal trial. But if I'm reading the record correctly, they never brought the search warrant to the trial court, and the issue at the on direct appeal to the Court of Appeals was defaulted because you can't apply the exclusion rule as a matter of law unless you can show that the taint overwhelmed all the other probable cause information in the affidavit for the warrant, right?
That's correct. I was about to move on to the second amendment, assignment of error, which is that there should have been a hearing in this case. The first issue, obviously, is that this is a matter of law. There was no need to have a hearing. The second issue, though, is that we simply have no idea what this search warrant was based upon.
Well, what I'm getting at is generally you can't make a habeas claim in state court, in some cases in federal court, if you've procedurally defaulted your argument in direct appeal and it was available at the time.
Correct.
So the argument was never, the dog sniff equals I win this criminal trial was never fully made because that last essential component that the taint overwhelmed all the other probable cause information in the affidavit was never even asserted. There was not even an argument of that.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's why I argued in my brief that ultimately, even if Jardines were retroactively applied here, it's simply Paragon barred because it was not properly appealed because the affidavit and the search warrant never made it into the record.
But of course, if that were true, we wouldn't even need to address the retroactivity point. It's procedurally barred under Slayton.
Correct. The trial court chose to address the retroactivity as opposed to the procedural bar. But they are alternate, and I would argue both just as valid reasons for denying the habeas petition.
And that's a pure legal ground, so we could decide on that basis if we wanted to.
Correct. If there are no further questions, I urge you to affirm. Thank you.
You have 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Repeatedly, the Scalia decision is focusing on the ancient and durable roots of its decision, of the common law precedents that were the basis for that decision. If they were announcing a new rule in that case, one would expect that they would say, this is our new rule, or say something about this. We're henceforth departing to announce this new jurisprudence. But where in the decision...
Counsel, could you address the waiver question?
I think that when that decision was... the original decision... had decided proceeds to address there was a suppression issue made, the issues were raised, there was some question about that the original trial counsel did not introduce into evidence the search warrant affidavit, and they said that ought to be a part of the record to help decide that. Well, when we do the habeas, we're asking for a hearing to allow a plenary hearing to simply put all the officers on the stand, address the issue of the, introduce the affidavits. But that certainly was, and of course we were not allowed the opportunity to do that. So I don't think that it was necessary to have the affidavit in the record to decide the case. Clearly, the evidence that was before the court was this, just like the Jardines case, that they got an anonymous tip that the person may be growing marijuana inside his house. They went on the cartilage with the drug-sniffing dog, just like in the Jardines case, and that violated property-based rights under the Fourth Amendment. And the harm caused... I'm sorry. I'm out of time.
You are. Call the next case.